Before we start today's episode, just a really quick warning, there are spoilers ahead and there is swearing. From active time battling to zombie slaying, Waffling Tailors covers video games and beyond. In this episode, we are joined by our friend Zunderscore to have a good old chat and get to know him better. We chat about all manner of topics, including everything from self-randomizers, streaming, and three squidges in a trench coat. You'll just have to wait for it. So without further ado, sit back, grab some snacks, and get ready for this episode entitled Zunderscore: Red Fedoras and Bathrobes, the Flip-Top Expansion to Streaming. Take it away, guys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Waffling Tailors. I am one of your hosts, Squidge. There he is with his woo again. Wait, did I just introduce myself as Squidge? I'm cosplaying a Squidge today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, that's it. Don't let the bald head
wig's in the mail,
folks. That's it. My wig is in the mail. No, so I'm one of your hosts, Jay, and with me, as always, is my faithful companion, the Wolfman himself, the dude with the luscious locks. It's Squidge. How are you, Squidgy?
It's slowly deflating over a series of months is what's happening to me at the moment.
Nice.
Just slowly.
That's always
slowly
good.
Enough so it doesn't make that whistling farting sound.
I was going to say, are you just talking about farting? Is that what you're doing? You're not really.
No. I'm just slowly deflating, you know, in general. So by May, I should be like 2 foot tall. That's the goal.
All right. So we can sneak you into places for half price then.
Yeah. I'll hide the snacks in my top hat. That's what I'll do.
Silver linings. I like it. So you could be, what's that guy from
Top Hat's got a silver lining as well.
What's the character called? And it's like Aaron Kidman or something like that. Oh, I can't remember it now. Anyway, doesn't matter. There's all three of the listeners yelling at their podcast apps about how I'm stupid. Anyway, yes, we absolutely. But we are joined today by Zunderscore, who is a very prolific Twitch streamer. I just want to say, hey, Zunder, how are you doing?
I wouldn't say very prolific, but you know, I appreciate that. Listen, all the deflating that Squidge is doing, I'm getting inflated over here. This is great. I'm going to be like 12 feet tall, and then we're going to have three squidges in a trench coat.
There you go.
Name of my third autobiography. Okay. Name of the first autobiography is a bit daft putting that down there. Name of the second autobiography is Phantom Dick Pain. Name of the third autobiography is three squidges in a trench coat.
Perfect. Well,
sorry, I just got to write them now.
I'm going to write yours. Sign me up.
Right. So head over to Amazon.com now and get your pre-orders in. In the meantime, I've looked up the name of that character from BoJack Horseman. He's called Vincent Adultman. And it's two like prepubescents in a trench coat. And it's just exactly as you may expect. It's brilliant. So there you go. Awesome.
Or for the older generation, just imagine Muppet Man.
Absolutely. Yep, that's it. So, Zunderscore, tell us a little bit about your Twitch channel and all that stuff, like how people can get in touch. I know we've only just started, but I like to do this at the beginning and at the end, so then people don't have to listen all the way to the end just to find out how to get in touch with you.
Yeah, so I've been a streamer on Twitch for a little over 3 years now. I do a little bit of everything. So I do variety gaming. I do some coding, some design developments kind of things. I am a developer on one of a pretty popular Twitch chatbot called Firebot. So I spend a lot of my free time working on that. And that's the big stuff. As far as gaming goes, I have a love for a lot of different genres, but RPGs, platformers, a little bit of strategy, a little bit of roguelike, that kind of thing really, really appeals to me. So I'll do the retro thing every once in a while. I actually have a fun little setup for that, which I enjoy. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, just a quick question. It's a really quick question, my man. Is that a red fedora in the background I spot?
That's not just a red fedora. No, sir. That is an officially licensed red hat fedora.
Oh, awesome.
That is a red hat fedora.
Okay, call me a little bit ignorant. But so Red Hat Fedora?
So I'm a Microsoft guy, okay? I have been for a long time. I've been working in IT and development my entire adult life, and then some. I'm a classic old school computer nerd, and I'm a Microsoft fanboy through and through, right? I've got like my mug here with my giant Microsoft logo mug. But when I took a job at a construction company several years ago, my boss said, listen, I need you to get some certifications. We're going to pay for them. I said, this is great. Cause you know, I'm in like my early 20s and, I don't have money for this kind of stuff. So my boss says, go get certified. I said, all right, what do you want? She goes, I want you to go get certified in Red Hat Linux. And I'm like, that's not Microsoft stuff. She's like, nope, it sure isn't. But I need it anyway. I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. So I went and I got certified. The company paid for it. It was great. And so as my little gift to myself, I bought myself the official Red Hat Fedora so that I could always have this as like my little symbol of, yeah, I like Microsoft, but my first certification wasn't. So there we go.
I've got to say I'm super jealous. Big fan of all of the Linuxes. But for your benefit there, Squidge, Red Hat is the enterprise Linux. So that's like, you know how everybody talks about Linux as an operating system. It's not really an operating system. It's the kernel, which is kind of like the operating system. But anyway, I'm getting way off topic. Linux on the desktop, right? Like I run Pop! OS on my main desktop, not on the machine I'm using right now, but I use that because it's kind of set up for a little bit of gaming stuff, and it comes with like the Vulkan stuff and Steam and all that kind of stuff baked in. Don't have to faff with it. You just install it and it's gone. It's doing. It's running. Whereas my understanding is Red Hat Enterprise Linux is Linux on the desktop or on the server, but you pay for the support, which is bloody brilliant because sometimes getting support for open source Linux is not easy.
Yeah, they can't sell you the software because of the licensing terms, but they will sell you the support, which you will pay through the nose for.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. No, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So I'm very, very jealous. I once went to a programming conference here in the UK, and there was some folks from Red Hat walking around in Red Hats, and I'm like, can I have one? And they're like, no. So I was like, but I want one. I want one. So yeah.
Shut up and take my money.
That's exactly it. They weren't for sale.
You leave, go headless through the room and just boom. Take one off the hat and leave. Yeah.
Just like spear somebody, like any kind of American footballer, just at 40 miles an hour. Poof.
Stop reminding me of my life goals. Seriously. One of my life goals is to go to a park where there's a mascot, preferably Disneyland, and spear them out of the boots and get banned for life. That's one of my goals. But I want to do it in front of a big bunch of kids so that when I spear them the head falls off and they see it's an ordinary person in there. Or not. I haven't been to Disneyland, so I imagine it's either people in costumes or actual characters.
I mean, who can say, right?
We'll never know. It's Disney magic. They won't tell us.
100%, 100%. Cool. Yeah, I similarly am a big Microsoft guy until I got to, we're talking way off topic for video games, but I feel like I want to share a little bit of the story with you. Until I got to college, I had never, so in the UK, that's like 18 plus. After you've done your high school, you then go to college and then you go to university, right? So by the time I'd gotten to college, university level, I'd never heard of Linux. And then somebody was like, you should check out this thing. It's at the time it was Debian, and Debian was relatively new. So I was like, okay, cool, check this out. And it was able to run, like make my computer seem like it's running faster than it was previously. So I was like, oh, cool. So I diverted over to that. And I only ever use Windows when I absolutely have to now, but that's my own personal choice. But as a Microsoft tech guy, you know, I'm a big fan of .NET, which is something that I'm very, very excited about. But so Zunderstar's giving me the fist pumps. Yes.
I'll mention it before you do, so it doesn't seem like your head's too inflated. Jay's a Microsoft MVP. and he has been for 2 years, bordering 3 years now, something like that. He's got,
yeah, it's coming up for renewal as we record.
He's got the trophy, the everything to prove it, and the top as well. He's got a fleece to prove it. So.
Now, again, not to divert too much, but Jay, you also have your other podcast, and you not terribly long ago interviewed a friend of mine for that, Jeremy Sinclair, who is also.
Oh, yeah. Jeremy's great. Jeremy's the best, I have to say. He's a really
cool dude, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was saying to me just yesterday, he's like, I don't think I'm going to be renewed. I'm like, dude, you are being renewed. If anybody's being renewed, it's you.
If anybody's right? being renewed, it's going to be him. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We got to stop talking shop, man. We got video games to talk about.
I was going to say, should I just drop out and you guys can talk .NET Core? I don't mind. I'll bow out. You know, I'll go take a bath. I don't care.
So video games, huh? Am I right?
Listen. Yeah. I'm here today for the Waffling Tailors. Catch me again in 3 months for the other punk.
How about them video games, eh?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, man. But yeah, so one of the things that we like to do on the show, if it's okay with you, Zunda, is we like to talk about what we've been playing recently. And that is mainly because I don't have a great deal of time. You know, I've got the whole adult responsibilities and podcasts and all that kind of nonsense. So I like to hear what people are playing recently so then I can go, oh, cool, I'll check that out next, rather than taking a risk on something and going, well, I've put 4 hours. 4 hours isn't a great deal of time in video game land these days, but like I've put 4 hours into this and it seems like a waste of time so far. So what about if you guys both tell me a little bit about some of the games you've been playing recently and I'll pepper in a few of mine, but mine are all retro games at this point. But, like, what have y'all been playing?
Okay. So, as we record this, it's currently Steam Next Fest. So, there is a demo that I played last night that I'm very into, and I know it's going to be a problem for me going forward. But it's called Nevergrave. And it's a roguelike where you play as a possessed witch's hat, and you possess the body of this girl. And it's very much Dead Cells. But it has a look and a like the visuals and the audio have a lot of like Hollow Knight feel to them. So it's that platformer roguelike sort of thing. And there's a village that you can help rebuild that will also help grant you abilities to help you get through future runs. It's a lot of fun. And I'm going to put down the money for it. And I'm going to be obsessed with it for months. I can tell already. So that's one that I've really enjoyed from the Next Fest demos. As far as stuff that's out right now, and it's out on Game Pass now, the second installment in the Turnip Boy saga, Turnip Boy Robs a Bank. So I played the first one last year, Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion. It was hysterical. I loved every second of it. The humor is great. Like, the way it pokes fun at itself and at the rest of us is just, it's beautiful. But the second one, Turnip Boy Robs a Bank, another roguelite, but it's the sequel. It's like the story sequel. It's basically the next day after all of the events of the first game. It's fantastic, and it's got all of the same humor. It's really, really good, and it's a lot of fun. It's not a terribly long play. You can get through it. I know someone who speed runs, and he got through it in, I think his current record is like 23 minutes. But the full game itself, I probably spent a good 7 to 8 hours on, and it's really, really fun. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I've got to say, so far you're speaking my love language. Roguelikes and Dead Cells and Turnip Boy. I haven't played either of the Turnip Boys, but like I heard about Robs a Bank, and I was like, wait, there's another one? So, yeah, I have to play them both. I'm going to have to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So for a bit of background, Cheer played Dead Cells. He got it on the Switch, and I found out very quickly via watching him, he hates doors.
Oh, yeah.
On the open doors in that game, he'll just smash through them. To a point where I thought he was going to start doing it in real life, because he was enjoying it much.
That's what they're for, right?
Listen, if you like smashing doors, you're going to love Nevergrave because there are doors everywhere that you can smash and stun enemies just like in Dead Cells.
Nice. I cannot wait.
I mean, you said you take control as a hat and you possess people. I'm in. I don't need a story.
That's it.
Let me possess people. I'm in.
Happy days. Nice. So what about you then, Squidge? What have you been playing recently?
Bear with me. I've got to prepare myself mentally for this one.
Oh, here we go. He's got to prepare himself. Watch out.
I had to do a little bit of typing while you were chatting there, but I had to get the right description. So anyone who knows me knows that I like the weird games. I like the wacky games. I like the games that people just throw to one side saying, oh, it's catering to a certain so-and-so audience, blah, 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 and whatever. So there's a series of games called Onichambara.
Oh, the Onichambara games are brilliant.
Right. First game I played was on the 360, and it was called, and I quote, Onichambara Bikini Samurai Squad.
Yep.
On the name alone, I was in. Right. Unfortunately, it had one of those settings in the main game, considering that you're females in bikinis with swords slicing up zombies, where you could change a blood colour from red to white. I'm pretty sure that's a censoring issue, but it just makes it worse. This is leading somewhere. So one of the latest ones that they released was called, let me get the name right, Schoolgirl Zombie Hunter. Now, the only description I'm going to give is this. Lose the clothes and save your life. This is a survival of five high school girls happening in the world of Onichambara. Right? This is not the game I've been playing. I've been playing the budget game from Wish.com on the Nintendo Network that is called, and I quote, let me get the name right, Anime Girls High School of Dead. I didn't buy this. I got it on some gold points that I had left over, and I thought I wanted a laugh. It's meant to be a survival game with one music track, with a load of unlockable characters, with one model with different clothing. I pretty much figured out how to cheese it in about 10 minutes.
Good man.
I got bored eventually. I unlocked everything. I got bored because I thought, I've got way too much ammunition. Nothing has touched me. I'm just shooting stuff. Not that I'm getting bored, but the music was really getting on my nerves. But I spent a good 2 hours playing that, just thinking, this is terrible, and I love every second of it.
This is like, Squidge is like, listen, I need an anime girl zombie killing game. And Nintendo's like, we have anime girl zombie killing game at home.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah. Yeah, so I've been playing that. I've got the tune stuck in my head now, and I hate that tune. But yeah, just something on the Switch, something to have a laugh. I thought, I've got a load of gold points. I'll get it for free. Give it a go. Yeah. But apart from that, what was the thing I was playing the other day? I replayed Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night.
Mm.
And yeah, I quickly remembered how much I love that game, and I quickly remembered how much I hate that game. It's kind of like your classic 2D Castlevania that you get on like the Game Boy Advance, those games where you level up, you get stuff and what have you, but it doesn't make it entirely clear what you're supposed to do next. So even when I first played it, I was like, I am completely stuck. Google. Oh, that's where I'm supposed to go. How the hell was I supposed to figure that out? More Google, you know. But yeah, it's. I realised pretty quickly that I both love and loathe that game in equal measures. But it is a lot of fun. But it's one of those where I start playing it and then I realise 4 days has gone by and I really need a shower. So
yeah, I've been there.
You know, sleep's optional. I just really need a shower. I've survived on just being hyper-focused. When I realised 4 days gone by, I need to eat, and yeah, people should stay away from me till I jet myself down with cleaning fluid, you know? So I've been hitting them too pretty hard recently. Just the Nintendo's, we've got that game at home, and Bloodstained. I can't do the Nintendo-style game, though. I suck at that one. When it first came out, the first one. The NES style game. I completely suck at it. I can't do it.
Fair enough.
But give me the fully 3D sequel with voice acting and everything, I'm in. But nah, can't do the originals.
Yeah, so for me, recently, I'm going to hold it up to the camera, and obviously the listeners can't see it, but I will put some pictures in the show notes. I've been setting up a Retroid Pocket 4 Pro, which is a Android-based a retro game console thingamy, and it's got like your standard ABX. It's almost like a Nintendo Switch, but a little bit smaller. And quite literally everything I've thrown at it works. PS2, GameCube, Dreamcast, Sega Saturn.
Fridge.
The fridge. NES, SNES, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I got one of these because I'm going on a pretty long-haul flight over to Seattle pretty soon at the time of recording. And I was like, I don't want to have to, like, sit and watch a movie using those gammy ass headphones they give you. I know they're new, but you know, I don't want to do that. So I got this so I could sit and play some video games on the flight. And yeah, I've been spending a few days setting it up. It's come all the way from China from the company that made it. I did pay for it, but hey, if they want to send me a review unit, I'll review it. But there you go. And yeah, so I've been playing loads of PS2 games on here, mostly Samurai Warriors. And I've just started picking up Ratchet and Clank because I was like, I never played that. And sometimes, you know, I like a good platformy button bashy game. So that's next on the list. I also tried, I played Jet Set Radio before, but I tried Jet Grind Radio to see if it's any different. It's not different. It's just that, like, the name is different. And it's just as infuriating as it was when I played it on the Dreamcast, folks. Just as
about 30 playable characters. That's the difference. To yeah. Like nine, there's 30 this time. And you got jet absolutely. Boots, which I still think there should be a character where instead of them on the feet, they sit on one of them and you have to slalom uphill with rocket boots. It's less skating and more bobsledding up a hill, you know. Just spraying a straight line as they go by.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you ever played any of the Jet X radios, there's underscore Jet Set Radio,
no,
Jet
Roy
Radio. Okay.
No, I
okay.
haven't.
So just to fill in for your perspective then, it is it's one of those games that was definitely created in the early 2000s. It's got that really early 2000s aesthetic. Essentially, you are a group of rollerblading hoodlums, and you rollerblade around spraying graffiti everywhere, but it's done in like a cel-shaded, hyper-Japanese style, right? So... but it is incredibly infuriating. You have to skate up to a wall and you pull a trigger, and then to do your spray paint, you do almost, it's like it came out just before Rock Band, so it doesn't use any kind of Rock Band aesthetic for its controls. So to spray these complicated patterns, you move the analog stick around in certain patterns, and it hardly ever reads the controller correctly. Either that or I really suck at it, and I probably just suck at it. But it has got a absolute banger of a soundtrack. It's all sort of I don't do musical genres, but I'm gonna say electro hip-hop. It's just like stuff from that it's got that kind of late 90s sample based hip-hop feel to it, like hip-hop meets electro meets house music, that kind of thing. And I think it's an absolute banger. But there you go, the soundtrack is anyway, but there you go.
I heard a lot of folks compare, last year we got Hi-Fi Rush, which I heard a lot of folks compare to that series because it had like a lot of that kind of look and attitude to it.
Yep. Mm. Yeah, yeah. So if you've played Hi-Fi Rush, then you've kind of played Jet Set Radio, but with better controls, essentially.
Yeah. Got it.
Originally coming out on the Dreamcast, you can always tell it's a Sega game that was made in Japan, because you're a bunch of hoodlums and you've got a health bar and a spray paint counter. And it starts off and a few police officers try and grab you, try and stop you, and you can shake them off. To get to a point where a detective's sent towards you, and then he starts calling in tanks and choppers. And I think at one point he calls in bears for some reason while you're just trying to spray paint. And then the story revolves around there's mind control and there's a huge turntable on top of a massive building, and it just gets, it's classic Sega, you know?
Yeah.
In fairness, bears are very, we can be very scary. And for those of you listening, because you can't see me, I am in fact a literal bear. So, you know,
there you go. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, it's that kind of like hyper realistic, over the top silliness. But it is loads of fun. Just the controls are just dreadful. But yeah, that's what I've been playing. Have you guys been playing anything else? I know I sort of cut you off earlier on Underscore. I do apologize for that.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Like I said, it's again, time of recording, it's Steam Next Fest. So there's several more things that I'm going to be trying to play and get a feel for. But the one that that really got its hooks in me was Nevergrave. Man, I'm going to play this so much of that when it gets released. It's going to be so bad.
Nice. Okay, cool.
Just to quickly call back to what Jay was saying about Jet Set Radio, I think I can describe how bad the controls are. And this was based on a speedrun I saw, and it was Alien Isolation, right? I'm a big fan of games done quick. I try and get the odd t-shirt every so often, the mug, you know, try to contribute in some way. I saw someone, I can't remember if it was on a games done quick or it was like a hotfix that happens every other week. They did a speed run of Alien Isolation on the hardest difficulty with a steering wheel. If you can imagine trying to play a horror game, imagine the steering wheel aesthetic, but instead of Alien Isolation, it's a Call of Duty game. That's what Jet Set Radio controlling's like.
Wow.
I'm sorry, you said controlling it with a steering wheel, and all I could think about, for some reason, is Resident Evil Village, and here comes Lady Dimitrescu, and you're just like, skrr, trying to like avoid her.
Power slide. Nice.
Drift to go around the corner. Well, there you are. Oh, no, you don't. Reverse. As you're trying to get away, you just out of nowhere, just hear beeping. Move, move, move.
Nice. Okay, cool. So yeah, well, what we'll do, I'd love to talk to you about like Twitch streaming and gaming in public in a little minute, as Underscore, if that's all right. But one of the other things that we like to do, because it feels like we get a flavor of who the person is when we ask for this one. So if you'd like, we can do you, put you on the Thunderblades, if you like.
Let's go. Let's go.
All right. Cool. All right. So, imagine that you're in Final Fantasy X, and that the Thunder Plains is a real place that you can get banished to. And what we're going to do is we're going to open a portal to the Thunder Plains, and very nicely, and very politely, boot you through it. You will get help, maybe it'll be tomorrow, maybe it'll be in a week, maybe it'll be in an hour, but you'll have absolutely everything you need. You've got food, shelter, water, everything. To stop you from getting bored, we've said that we'll keep the portal open and throw through up to 3 video games and everything you need to play them, including an internet connection if you need it. The only rules are that you can't ask for help because it is on the way, and you can't tell anyone that you're in the Thunder Plains. So my question, and Squidge's question I suppose, by proxy, is, were we to throw, boot, or yeet you through the portal, which games are we throwing through with you?
So, I had to think about this one, because my big thing has got to be replayability, right? Something that I'm going to be able to just play over and over and over again, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a long game, but I get up to 3, but my list is only 2, and here's why. The first one, Super Metroid. Now, I would like to have a version of Super Metroid that could randomize itself, if possible, okay? Because I've played Super Metroid dozens of times. I know where things are. I know how it works. So at least to give myself a little bit of a challenge, maybe some kind of randomized Super Metroid to let me go through it in a different pattern each time. The second game, which actually requires 2 cartridges, is Sonic 3 and Knuckles. Now, for those of you who don't remember, back in the Genesis days, Sonic the Hedgehog 3 was supposed to be a much bigger game than it originally was released as. But because the team was under a really tight schedule, they had to cut a lot of the content from Sonic 3. So what they ended up doing was, they cut the content, polished off Sonic 3, and released it. They then made Sonic and Knuckles. Sonic and Knuckles was kind of a wild concept of its time. It was really sort of a technological marvel because they created what they call a lock-on cartridge. So Sonic and Knuckles was a cartridge with a flip top with another cartridge slot, and you could plug another game into it. So what they did was, in order to finish off the story that they really wanted to do with Sonic 3 originally, when you connected Sonic 3 and Knuckles together, you got the entire game plus additional in-game content, which was just really cool. So you could play Sonic 3 and finish it. You could play Sonic and Knuckles on its own and finish it. But you could play them together as a single game and play both games plus this, like, just ridiculous boss fight at the very, very end. I have played this game, I cannot count how many times, since the age of, like, 9, all right? And I absolutely love Sonic 3 and Knuckles. It's one of the games that I go to if I'm just bored and I need something to just pass the time and I can't think of anything else to do or play, I will fire up Sonic 3 and Knuckles. I've owned it on practically every platform that it's on that I own. When it came out on the Xbox 360, I remember it was fun because they had the Xbox Live arcade versions of the original four Sonic games, Sonic 1, 2, 3, and Knuckles. And if you owned Sonic and Knuckles and Sonic 3 and had them both installed, you could play Sonic 3 and Knuckles as a complete game, which was, again, really cool at the time that they had that built in to the Xbox 360 titles. And now we've got, Sonic Origins came out, I think, last year. And it's got that mode in it as well. And it's just like, oh, I keep getting to play this game. I love it so much. It's so good. It's so good.
Nice. Yeah, I remember when I got Sonic, I think when Squidge and I got Sonic and Knuckles, I went around trying to find all the different, over here it was the Mega Drive, obviously, but all the different Mega Drive / Genesis games I could slam onto the top of the cartridge and see what it would do, right? Streets of Rage mm-hmm. just unlocked loads of bonus levels, or, you know, Sonic 2, you would then get Knuckles in Sonic 2, right? And I was like, holy cow, mm-hmm. this is pretty cool.
I actually used that particular mechanic to my advantage because I never put any of the Sonic games in. I can't remember what cartridge it was, but I put the cartridge in. And then when you turned it on, you just got like a screen. It was a cast of characters and it said mm-hmm. something or other. And then once you push start, you could play through all the special stages. Every time you push start, you could play through where you're running around and getting all the blue orbs and stuff. So what I did was I spent a good 3 weeks playing through as many as possible. Then I started up Sonic and Knuckles, and whenever there was a special stage, I aced it because it was just muscle memory at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Good choice, though. That keep me going as well, I think, if I was there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I know that I wouldn't do so well because I think it's Sonic 3. I may be misremembering. I can't remember whether it's Sonic 3 or Sonic and Knuckles or Sonic and Knuckles and Sonic 3. But there's like one of the many. Every Sonic game has to, by law, have a casino level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember whether it was the casino level or whether I'm misremembering and there was like a circus level. But I don't think it was a circus level.
Carnival.
It was a casino level.
Carnival.
Yeah, you jump on. That's it, on the carnival one, that's it. Yeah, and there was these platforms you could jump on that rotated, and you had to push up and down to get through them. I kept thinking you had to jump on them, and it took me forever to figure that out.
It took me years to figure out that mechanic. Literal years. Because I was the same way. I thought it was the jumping that made the platforms go further up and down, but it was just controlling them. And I was like, if there was any point, especially like the first few years that I played that game, if there was any point where I died the most, hands down, it was that one level. It was in Carnival Night Zone Act 2, and it was near the end. because you go through, like, yep. the lights get cut off. You finally go and find a switch to cut, turn the lights back on. You're working your way up through this maze, and then you get to this top part, and that's where you're stuck in this one room, and you have to figure out that mechanic. It forces you to figure that out. It took me years to get that right. Like, and so many times I accidentally, I figured it out.
Yeah, it's one of those, you're absolutely convinced it must be something to do with the jumping because you fluked it one time and you got past the stage. You know, it must be jumping. It's just my timing. That's off. No, it really isn't.
Nope.
Yep. Man. Yeah, you just unlocked a little bit of, I hate to say it, and I'm only saying it as a joke, but you've just unlocked some PTSD for me there.
A little bit of gamer rage from back in the day.
That's it. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Childhood gamer rage.
And broken pads, right, Jay?
Absolutely. My goodness. Let's talk a little bit about streaming and, I suppose, gaming in public and coding in public. I know that we're not, this particular podcast isn't a coding one, but you said that some of what you do is like software development, coding stuff in public as well. So how did you get started with that then? Was it just like, hey, this Twitch thing is cool, I'll just sign up for an account and figure that out?
You know, I had a Twitch account. I had a Justin TV account, right? So, you know, back before it was Twitch and everything else, my account on, I actually have two accounts, and I've been kicking myself ever since I started streaming because I could have swapped them around so that my main username, my Zunderscore, has the oldest account, but I think it was like 2011 or something like that is my old account. So, but no, I've had an account for years, and I didn't really get into watching it until 2020. You know, the pandemic started, and you know, everybody's sent home from work, and I'm a very extroverted person. Like, I have to be around people. I absorb energy from being around people, even if I'm just sitting in the room with someone. Doesn't matter. Like, I need to be in a space with other people. So being sent home, you know, and like, I have my wife here and it's wonderful, but I still need like other people. Like, I just need more people. And I don't want to just, you know, I didn't want to have to just rely on her to be that source of energy for me. Cause she's very introverted. And she's, you know, it's me. So with me, it's not the same with her as it is being around, you know, groups of people or strangers or whatever. So, but it's still, I needed to have like, you know, I needed to have friends around and people to hang out with. So, in like late 2020, I started watching folks on Twitch cause I was talking to my best friend about it. And I said, you know, I gotta figure out something. I need some kind of human interaction. And he's like, listen, I've been watching a lot of Twitch lately myself. Here's a couple folks to go check out, go check them out. And so, started watching a couple of folks, including our friend Mo. You all know Mo from Podcast Nexus. That's how I got to know Mo. And so started watching folks on Twitch and said, so I'm like, you know what? Let's go for it. Let's try it and see what happens. Maybe this will be a way for me to, you know, I'm going to be sitting around playing video games or whatever anyway. And this will be a chance for me to reconnect with some folks. Cause I had spun up a Discord earlier in the year. So a bunch of us could hang out and still communicate with each other despite not being around each other. And, so I think it was like right around American Thanksgiving, end of November of 2020 is when I did my first stream, and I'm just sitting there playing games, and I had, you know, a couple of friends show up and just hang out and watch, and you know, they're in the chat and I got to talk with them and it worked out really well. So I just kept going at it. And, by like early 2021, I had hit affiliate on Twitch. And then my best friend who lives in North Carolina, I live down in Florida. And then one of the guys that I worked with and his wife, we were all playing on a Minecraft server together. So we were playing Minecraft Bedrock because I was the Bedrock guy. I was playing on console a bunch, and I wanted to also play, you know, on PC so I could, you know, do cross saves and stuff like that. So we're playing Minecraft Bedrock. We had a realm together, and we played for a few months. We were just playing Minecraft together on voice, and people would come and hang out, and it was great. So I think that really sort of formed my my channel identity early on. Is, you know, I wanted to have that sort of, you know, folks on voice with me pretty regularly. I still, to this day, I usually have one of my my chuckleheads in voice with me on the show. And I'll, you know, we'll all be doing sort of our own individual things, but we're all hanging out together. They like to give me, you know, a good hard time, as they do. And we just hang out and do our thing. And it's been a lot of fun. It's given me a lot of that human interaction that I've needed. And it's different. You know, I'm not a person that typically likes to be on camera. Like, I don't like pictures of me being taken pretty often. And it's like, well, you stream, you have a camera on. And I'm like, yes, I know, but that's different. That's like, this is,
yeah, it's different.
It's my camera and I'm in control of what happens on the show, right? It's not like someone else is taking a photo of me. Like, this is my domain. This is what I do. I also worked in broadcast many, many lifetimes ago. I worked for a small radio station in my hometown. So like the broadcast stuff, the editing, all of that stuff like came naturally to me because I had done it years before. So this just sort of felt like a natural thing for me to get started to doing. And, you know, I didn't really understand at the time how much it would become a big part of what I do and who I am. But, you know, here we are just a little over 3 years later. A couple weeks ago, I crossed 1,000 followers. You know, I'm pretty excited about that. And, you know, I'm still doing my regular streams. And then I decided, you know, I've seen folks doing coding and things like that on Twitch. And we're starting to see more and more of that, where people are doing more creative things other than just gaming. You know, I spend a lot of time with folks who do a lot of fiber art. So things like knitting and crocheting and needlepoint and embroidery, that kind of thing. So I've got a pretty big circle of friends who do a lot of that kind of stuff. And then just all kinds of other creative things that people are doing, including development. Twitch gave us, I think year before last, they actually created a separate category for software and game development, because folks were using science and technology up to that point. And so, you know, I think it really speaks to how much that has grown as a category of content that folks want to watch and take a part in. So, as far as my stuff that I wanted to do, you know, like I said, I've been working on this bot, Firebot, that I've been part of their team for the last couple of years now. They used to be a Mixer bot years ago when Mixer was still a thing. And then when Mixer shut down, they had to kind of convert everything over to work with Twitch instead. And so, again, my best friend, he's like, hey, I've been watching this group of streamers. They all use this one bot. It sounds like it's really great. You should go check it out. It's open source. I'm like, all right, fine. And I had always wanted to get into an open source project of some kind, but I didn't really find anything that I could latch on to. I didn't find anything that was like, this is something that I could, you know, contribute in a meaningful way to, something that really like speaks to me that I find useful, until I found Firebot. So now I'm streaming that on Twitch these days as well. We had like a major release, or I wouldn't say major, but it was a massive release here a few weeks ago. We actually did that release live on my stream. Found a bug in it and released a patch like within a few minutes of getting the big release out. And so, you know, but I think it really speaks to having the community there and like folks that are there with you and, you know, have an interest in this kind of stuff. And it's been a ride, but it's been really good. It's been really good. And again, like, you know, world's different now. The world's a lot different now than it was 4 years ago. And to have something like this that I can still have that, you know, again, that social interaction, that human, just people being in the room with you, even if it's virtually, it's been a great boon to my mental health And I've really, really enjoyed it. Plus, you know, everybody gets to have a laugh when I get my ass handed to me in a video game. You know, I've got, we've got a rip counter on my channel. So, one of the chuckleheads, he's got a Stream Deck. He doesn't stream, but he uses it for automation, and he's got a button that he can just press whenever I die in a video game, and it'll increase my rip counter so that we know exactly how many times I've died in that game.
Nice.
So it's been a lot of fun. You know, there's a lot of different social paradigms on Twitch, and it really depends on sort of, you know, the groups that you're in, and age groups make a big difference. You know, I tend to skew a little bit older, obviously. Like I'm nearing 40. So, you know, for me, I'm on the older side of folks that stream on Twitch. So I tend to stick with folks, you know, in and around that age group and above. And it just, there are a lot of different dynamics, but it's, again, I spend a lot of time with folks who do, you know, creative stuff. And that really, I think that's just, it's a great vibe. It's a lot of really cool folks who are very helpful. I actually started to learn to crochet a couple of weeks ago. And so, you know, I had folks that have been like pressuring me for months. It's like, you can learn, you got to do this. And I'm like, fine, I'll do it. So, my wife got me a set of crochet hooks for Christmas, and, I started learning that and doing that. I started learning on stream, just on stream, no prior experience. And like, we all kind of went through it together. And like so many of my, you know, creative crafty friends, whether they're streamers or not, they were in the chat, they were watching me go along, and they're like, you're doing great. You know, they're giving me tips on how to do stuff. And it was just really cool to see that kind of community come together and seeing people who were, you know, again, interested in similar things, and having that just sort of community built around that. And that's been really fun. That's been really cool.
That's amazing. I used to do a lot of coding live on Twitch, just doing some stuff with .NET and building some open source stuff. I never really got a huge audience, but I think that was mainly because I was doing it at okay times for me, but weird times for the rest of the world. And that's totally fine. But I do know one of the things that I want to do this year is I want to learn the Rust programming language on stream, regardless of whether people are going to watch or right. It's the same idea that you had there, Zunder, about I'm going to do it anyway, so I may as well do it in the open, and then maybe people can help or whatever. Or maybe there'll be something that people can enjoy watching or whatever. And I really like what you said there. I really appreciate what you said there about the creativity side of it, because I've got, like, Squidge and I both have a friend called Jim, and he actually makes music live on his Twitch channel. Like, he's got, like, a whole bunch of samplers and stuff, and the camera is just pointing at his samplers, and you can just see his hands moving around as he's doing stuff. And then he'll get out a musical instrument and record something, and then sample that and play it back and mix it in. And, you know, he's recorded, like, I want to say at least one album like that, where it's been like he's just been screwing about on Twitch and gone, that was really good, hang on, and then he pulls up Audition or whatever, hits record and does it all again, and then closes Audition, saves it, and he's like, that's going on the album or whatever, which is really cool.
That's cool.
And then and my friend Steve, who Squidge has met, not in person, but yeah. I went to go visit him in Atlanta right about this time last year. It had been about April, May time. And one of the things that I noticed when I walked into his house is he doesn't watch TV. Like, he doesn't watch cable TV or anything like that. He's just got Twitch. Like, that's what he watches.
Yeah.
Because, like, why not, right? And he's got a bunch of creators that he follows on there. Like, mostly it's music, but yeah, a whole bunch of people on there that he just watches. And it makes sense, right? Because it is, effectively, it's interactive TV, right? That's how you can kind of explain it to some people, because you can have it on the TV and then you get your phone or whatever and you can send a message. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. Lately I've been, you know, because I've been doing so much more development kind of stuff on stream. I also have, you know, I like to design as well, like doing graphic design. Years again, in a former life, I was a print designer in a print shop. So, you know, sort of business cards and letterheads and brochures and stuff like that. But I also like, you know, digital design. So something I just kind of got like a wild idea a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, hey, you know, I see a lot of people who have done similar styles of like that look like a desktop screen, but it's not like actually a desktop as their overlays on Twitch. And I'm like, what if I did an actual one? And so I went through a whole thing and I've got, I made a, like a countdown and everything, but I've got one scene that is, it's a DOS scene. So it's like me inside of a DOS box, like nice. An old school DOS edit box. Right. So like with the blue screen and like the, you know, everything kind of like the framing around it and the ASCII art and stuff like that. And then I was like, you know, the DOS thing is really cool. What if I did a different one? So I did, let's do a Windows 98 one. So I have a Windows 98 one too, complete with Clippy and everything. And I'm like,
Clippy,
you know,
Clippy, burn it with fire. Burn it with fire, that's Clippy. That's awesome. Demi, God, like, that'll take us all down.
But like, this is the kind of stuff that I do on my stream, because I'm like, you know, I get an idea, I'm like, hey, I'm gonna work on this thing, and I'm doing it for stream, I might as well work on it on stream, and it just ends up being like a lot of really cool stuff that I end up doing. So I really just love working on that kind of stuff. And you know, again, people come in, and it's, you know, you always have like your regulars that'll come and hang out no matter what you're doing. But then you, as you're doing different things, whether it's gaming or dev or design work like that, you know, you get new folks that come in. It's like, hey, that's pretty cool. You know, and they strike up a conversation, and it's just, you know, some of them, they end up sticking around. Some of them, they just come through in passing, but it's just cool to see that, you know, just how many people are out here that take an interest in that kind of thing. It's really fun.
Yeah, I know what you mean about the creative side of things, just something to do. I have a creative pastime, and I'll show you an example of it if it'll show up on the camera. It's cross stitch.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Not showing up that well. Now, someone said to me, why don't you stream that? And I said, have you ever done cross stitch before? Because I'd be there all day, and I'd get the tiniest square done. Because it takes so long. Mm-hmm. It bore people to tears.
You know, you say that, Squidge, but there are so many people that I watch that do it. And they come in and people hang out, and we just have a great time just hanging out. Because again, it's a lot of it is not about necessarily watching the process. I mean, some of it is, obviously. And like for me, I love watching it because I haven't done cross-stitch in years. But I, you know, just watching people do it. But it's the personality, it's hanging out, it's having that sort of camaraderie with folks, and you know, just having folks, you know, alongside you, and you know, having a little bit of fun. You know, sometimes things might get a little serious, but that's life. You know, we're you know, sometimes we get talking about life and we kind of veer off onto the serious topics, but at the end of the day, it's all about that human connection. And I think, you know, no matter what you're doing, the mark of a successful creator is not about, like, I don't really think it's about numbers. I don't think it's about the kind of money that you're making from it. I think truly it's about that human connection that you make. And so, you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing as long as you're making that good human connection.
Yeah. I mean, I twitch myself. I'm trying to stick to a clear schedule, but I've got a lot of stuff going on. Similar thing to you, I'm more of an introvert, but you know, lockdown happened, I was at home, I had all this equipment that I use for my job. I'm an audio editor, so I've already got the audio equipment. I had a decent webcam because I chatted with Jay a lot and I needed a decent webcam, just to keep saying. For a number of years before lockdown, I flirted with the idea of Twitch streaming. But I didn't have fiber at that point, and I was in a part of the UK that was devoid of decent internet completely. Mm-hmm. When I got decent internet, it was like, okay, I've got that. Let's look into it. And I just fell down this rabbit hole. So I got the program, I got the overlay, I got things, I got this, I got that, and I ended up trying it. And yeah, I haven't done it for the longest time, so I'm trying to build it back up and get into a routine and stuff, but my original idea was, I'll play stuff I've never played. let's go through this together, why not? And, you know, a few people jumping in, having a laugh, having a joke, and I was trying to create things that would stick. Like, one of the things that kind of sticks that comes up every so often is Lady Neville. I played the shark game for life of me, Maneater. I played Maneater.
Yes.
And I created this whole massive name for the shark, and it was Neville something, so for life of me, I can't remember it. And someone pointed out, dude, that's a female shark you're playing as. And quick as a flash, I went, okay, it's Lady Neville then. Lady Neville. And it's been like that ever since, you know? And for when I was doing it in like episodic bits, and when I got to the last part, I bought a hat that looked like a shark was on my head. And then that ending happened, and I took the hat off, and I went, I can't believe that happened. Seriously? No, I am bummed out. We put so much time and energy into this, trying to lock everything. It's like, no, I don't accept that ending. Not at all, no. I got my revenge, but I don't accept it. But I tried to do like games I haven't played, or I played games in a different way where I'd really struggle, but I'd have a laugh. Normally, if I'm playing casually, I can't do not playing games properly because it does my head in. I just can't lose. You know, I've got that sort of mindset. So, but having people having a laugh with me, and we, you know, say stuff, and there's bits like Doom 64 when that came to PC. I thought, I've got it on console, but I never completed it. So I played that. I played Brutal Doom. I played all sorts of games, though. Resident Evil, all sorts of stuff. And I tended to find that games that I've already played before, but on a harder difficulty, where I've kind of got an idea what I'm doing, but I'm clearly going to get my butt whooped, tended to go down a bit better. Or games that I haven't played before but are easy enough to pick up, I stay away from puzzle games because it does my head in. But I did that a lot during lockdown because I needed an outlet. I'm an introverted guy. I don't really go out much. But I thought, if it's just me and my camera, I can control the chat. It doesn't have to get too serious. You know, I openly invited people to come in and hell abuse at me, that kind of thing, you know, in a bantery way, in a fun way. And I learned as I went along. You know, I'm upgrading certain things. I got settings wrong. I did other settings, and, you know, so I'm trying to get with it. About three quarters of the way through lockdown, I moved, and a lot of my life since then has been sort of like setting up and settling down and all the rest of it. So I had a chance to get back to it. But there's something to be said about, even if there's like just one person in the chat,
yeah,
or there's only a few, and only one of them's talking, the way I view it is, if I can make a complete tit of myself by running into a wall or dying in a stupid way or doing something completely batshit insane, and I make their day better, just one person, it's worth it.
Absolutely.
To me, it's not about the numbers. It's not about being affiliate or partner. To me, that's not going to happen. I don't think it is. I haven't got the time or patience or gummy bears to go that deep. But, you know, I do it to chat with people, make an ass of myself, have a few giggles, you know, get a few clips out of it. So I'm gonna try my best to get back to that. But I think going forward, it's going to be, I'm going to stick to like old school FPSs because I do better with like Doom and Quake. And I want to try some older ones like Chasm and a few games that CV11, the YouTuber CV11, a few of the games that he's played, I want to play some of them because some of them look absolutely terrible and I must try them. You know? just to sort of go, what am I playing this for? Come join me. Come join me in my torment. What am I playing this for? Yeah.
You know, Squidge, you said about, you know, somebody might watch me doing my angry sewing. Cross-stitching angry sewing. Somebody might watch me doing my angry sewing and get bored and leave, right? But like millions of people used to tune in and watch Bob Ross, right? And
yeah, now, right,
it's a completely different scale, right? And he would get through a painting in an hour, but like all he was doing was painting and talking you through it. Like, you know, put a little bit of yellow over here and there's a happy little guy there doing some fishing and, you know, it's not a mistake. It's a happy accident.
We'll just beat the devil out of it.
Yeah, yeah. And people find that calming, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing, Jay, right? Like, people aren't there to necessarily even watch the painting. They're there for they're there for the vibe, right? They're there for the kind of, the way you feel when you watch it. you know? Like, I might attempt once or twice to do a Bob Ross style painting, but I know that's something that I'm not going to take up as a serious hobby. I know that's something that I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on, but you know what? I will watch the hell out of Bob Ross because it just feels nice to watch. It's just calming and soothing. And that's the kind of thing that I'm looking for sometimes, is I just need that vibe, right? And so, again, I think it's about vibes. And like you said, Squidge, you know, it's not about, you know, having a whole bunch of people there. If there's a couple of people there, that's, you know what, that's people are taking time out of their day to come hang out and spend time with me. And that to me is enough.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at it 100%. In the opposite side of things, the opposite side of the spectrum, if you want to make a living out of Twitch and you're very sort of either introverted or extroverted and you're used to like interacting with the chat and you blow up to mega levels, have you seen how quickly chat goes on the big ones? Oh, yeah. You can't see anything.
I don't want to deal with that. I can't handle that. That's too much.
Yeah, 100%. And even then, it's not just that, right? Getting to the point where you are that, I'm going to use the phrase successful, but I'm going to put bunny quotes around it. Getting to the point where you have achieved that. There we go. I don't have to say successful because success means different things to everyone else, right? I feel like we're all three of us on the same page with what success on a streaming platform may look like to us. We're all on a similar page, right? But to hit the levels where you've got, you know, hundreds of people watching, thousands of people watching, whatever, you're doing it all day, every day. You're not just like doing it whenever you want. It's not a case of, well, I'd be playing this game anyway, like you said, Zunda. It's a case of, I need to do it from this time to this time every day. And not just that, it is work because you have to be entertaining. Those people are tuning in to be entertained. They're not tuning in for the vibe. They're tuning in because you're going to say or do something silly or stupid, which is why the majority of the people at that level have a whole team of people around them to handle everything for them. They literally just sit in front of the camera and, you know, they become, I hate this phrase, but that they sit in front of the camera and dance monkey, right? That's what they do. Yeah. And they get fed lines from people behind the camera. Oh, say this, because this will be funny. Do this, because this will be funny, right? Because there's a whole team of them. Whereas for people like, especially for people like Squidge and I, where it's just literally low tech, no tech, right? I've got my computer, I've got my Logitech, whatever, C90, whatever camera. I've got this microphone here, and I'm just typing away. I'm not even using StreamYard OBS. I'm using OBS OBS, right? So I don't even have all the fancy features. I'm just... For me, I'm just putting stuff out there. I'm not going, I'll do this and then I'll make the millions, right? It's just about, like you guys have both said, if one person turns up and they're, even if they're just there for me for a minute and they walk away feeling a little bit happier or a little bit sillier or whatever, then that's my goal, right?
Yep.
I have a similar feeling. It was a feeling towards podcasting, editing, podcasting. You know, I edit... I'm an audio editor by trade, or audio engineer, whatever you want to call it. And I think if there's something that I'm not paid to be doing, if there's a project that I'm doing, like Waffle and Taylor's, if I can insert stuff that nobody expects and I can just get a laugh out of one person, it's worth it for me. To be honest, I don't concentrate on numbers, how many downloads I don't get. You know, caught up in all that, basically because Jay's got all the info for that and he won't tell me. But I don't want to know regardless because I would rather just edit it, try and make it sound good and put some stuff in every so often to make people, you know, if they're at home chilling, they do a spit take, or if they're in the car, they laugh so hard they have to slow down and pull over. You know, I'm not a comedic genius, but I do put in stuff that is unexpected. So I do try and do that. And that's sort of my philosophy, because I know I'm not going to make the biggest impact, you know, but if I can help just a few people or put a smile on the face, say someone's having a really bad day. And I don't know, say for example, I did a cross stitching I did cross stitching on Twitch. I set up a camera rig. I know how to do it. I've looked into it. So I have multiple cameras, you know, one or two cameras, and I'm doing it. And I've got some sort of, again, I don't know how to do this, but I've got some like chill hop music that won't get me struck off of Twitch. You know, I sort all that out and what have you. And I'm just cross stitching away, you know, learning how to stay on camera so people can see it. And I'm just cracking jokes with people. If I can have one person who's had a bad day, just in the chat, just go, you just made my day. I've got a smile on my face. It'd make it all worth it. Yep. Completely. And that's just one person.
I think we've just convinced him, Zunder.
I need to look into a few things. I need to get another camera, but I might be tempted. Depends how much of my workspace is going to be taken up by cameras and stuff.
Yeah, but like things, Jay...
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jay. Go ahead.
All I was going to say is, jokey things aside, Squidge, I can talk you through how to get Chill Hop or whatever playing in the background, because Chill Hop do a creators thing. You just sign up and put a specific tag in your Twitch channel and your YouTube channel that says, you know, we're using Chill Hop music, and you could just play it for free in the background. So, sorry, Zunder.
Nice.
No, you're good. I was going to say that... You guys, you've been doing this podcast for quite a while now, and you know the kind of work that goes into it, right? So it's, this is one of those things like, you know, Jay, between, it sounds like you're the one doing sort of the front end management stuff, Squidge, you're doing like a lot of the back end management and the editing and things like that. So you guys know what it's like to have to produce something like this. And then streamers, we're doing that kind of production, you know, several times a week, some of us. And Jay, like you said, the bigger you get, the more it becomes, it's a job. It is a job that you have to bust your hump to actually get done. Right. And again, you guys know what it is to produce one podcast that, you know, that's gets put out on a fairly infrequent basis compared to Twitch streams that are, some streamers do sometimes 5-6 times a week for hours at a time. And again, you know, I come from sort of an old school production background, and Squidge, you being an audio engineer by trade, you get it. Like for folks like us, it's not just enough to put something out that's good. Like it has to, like production value has to be high. It has to be right. We agonize over this kind of stuff, like the little details, like we're going through as we're editing stuff like this, and every single pop or breath or whatever, we're going through trying to edit every single one of those things out, because it's like, it has to be perfect. It has to be just right. You know,
finally and someone else who understands. Oh, someone else who understands. Heavy breaths, mouth sounds, chewing, clicking of the tongue, it drives me up the wall. And I spend so much time getting rid of it.
Yeah,
it just takes up so much of my life.
My own personal setup is just, it is overly complicated for what I need, but it's because I have to have things in place. Like I have to have my gates in place. I have to have a certain level of compression in place, because I want everything to be like, I want it to be good, and I don't want to catch a lot of this stuff. And I have like, this room is a 10 by 10 room. Like it is not a large room. So I've got like a fan going up here. I've got an air conditioning vent up here. Like I live in Florida. It gets hot. There's going to be airflow in here, you know? Like, thank God that I've got this wall of bathrobes behind me, because this serves as sort of my acoustic foam that absorbs everything, so that everything that bounces back gets absorbed by the bathrobes. So I'm not getting echoed in like this tiny space. But like, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, folks that do what we do, we put that kind of effort in. And just to have like that little bit of like, hey, you know what, like, someone came by, said something kind, it makes it all worth it. It makes every single bit of agonizing over it worth it.
Yeah. So just a brief thing. I finished, and Jay can attest to this because he saw when I actually messaged him, I finished editing an episode that we did, which will have gone out by now, on revolving around the Final Fantasy VIII Remake. And we talked to our friend who lives in the UK, and she's our Final Fantasy expert. And she's the kind of person where you just have a laugh. It's all nice and laid back, and just have a laugh and what have you. I started the second day of editing that. It was 10 o'clock yesterday morning. I fully finished it at gone midnight. I would not leave it alone at all. I was just so focused. It had to sound right. I was going back. I was changing things, changing sound levels and stuff. And for me, considering that I'm not what you would call professionally trained as an audio engineer, everything I've ever done is self-taught. I've learned from my mistakes and I've done self-taught. And yeah, it does make a difference when you get like a nice message from someone or what have you. But when it comes to Final Fantasy, especially, something happened and it sent our friend, Lulu, it sent her into an almost a meltdown because we were discussing Final Fantasy VII Remake. And one of the voice actors from the game mentioned something, sort of like sent us a message, and she got it. And my phone blew up for about 20 minutes. She was so psyched, so excited. And the thing was, the guy said, right, I'm going to send this episode to a couple of the other people, including the voice actor for Barrett, the voice actor for Tifa in the game. I'm going to send it to them and see what they think. And it really did put a massive smile on my face because I put a lot of effort into it. But I was also very apprehensive because when talking about Barrett in the game, I wasn't exactly glowing about him. How they portrayed him, and not the voice actor but the character in general, so I wasn't exactly going and I thought, oh crap. Oh no. But it's definitely something when you get like a message saying, oh, this was great, or just listen to your last episode, that was marvelous. But then when you get messages from the people who were involved in the production and the presentation of a game that you just covered from the industry, so you know, send your messages back, sending lines from a skit that you had from the episode, sent it back to you, it's something extra. It makes it all worth it. It was the I don't know if you played it, but there's a section where you in Final Fantasy VII Remake, the first part, not the second one, which is coming out soon, you have a bike battle, and you have a battle on the bike, and it's the guy who voiced the character on the bike. For the life of me, I can't remember his name, but it was him. And there was all sorts of tags, and she got tagged into it. And my phone, I was trying to work, and it was blowing up for like 20 minutes straight. And it was essentially just, but with other words, you know. But it was like, I'm trying to work. Did you see this? I did. I'm going to check out in a minute. I've got to finish this. Man, I sort of phone. I had to throw it across the room. I need to work. I'll look at it later. I can't right now. But it's sort of like, you know, when you get stuff like that, and especially when you're podcasting, when you, like Jay, he's fantastic. He pushes his luck, especially when it was during lockdown. He just went, who wants to be on? And he booked people, left, right, and center. We got people who made indie games. We got old school game developers like Stu Cambridge. He came on. Jay even got an American comic called Asterius Cook. Asterius, what's his name?
Asterius Coconuts or Boisterous Coconuts.
I was about to say Boisterous Coconuts. Got him on, and he's a comic, and within seconds I was laughing my ass off. I couldn't breathe. Yeah, yeah. Within seconds, just jumping on. And it was down to Jay just going, do you want to be on? And I went, yeah, all right. What? I couldn't do that.
And that's fair enough, right? But yeah, although it's called the Waffling Tailors Podcast, let's not talk too much about the Waffling Tailors Podcast, right? Don't want to get it too mad.
Oh, okay, my self horn blowing thrown across the room. I'll put horn away from
I get it though, right? I get it though, because there is a certain like thing that you unlock by being a creator of content, whether that's just pointing a camera at yourself and streaming for several hours, or whether that's making podcasts or whatever, the big content creators just don't get that anymore. There's a bunch of people that I'm a fan of on YouTube who've recently gotten out of it. They've literally released a shed load of goodbye YouTube videos because at this point it's become more effort to produce a video, right? Because for their point of view, like for folks who don't realize, right, people are fickle. right? If you're not creating content mm-hmm. on the regular, they'll stop consuming your content, right? Which means mm-hmm. that you need to be creating something almost constantly. So like if you're creating a 10-minute long video, and I'm sure Zunder, you'll fully understand the production side of it, right? 10-minute long video with maybe two shots in it that where you're explaining some stuff, that may feel like it's only going to take 10 minutes, but you know, you're going to flub your lines, you're going to come up with something else to say during the whole thing. There's going to be, maybe if you're outside, there's going to be cars driving past, there's going to be people there, there's going to be airplanes overhead, the lighting is going to be bad. So a 10-minute video may take several hours just to film. And then you've got to go home and edit it together. And then once you've edited it together, maybe you need to do some pickup stuff where you've got to re-record some of the audio. Maybe you didn't record any B-roll, so you've only got those two shots rather than having lots of other shots to put in between them. And then, so several hours later, maybe several days later, you've got something that you can upload. Well, now you got to upload it and then come up with the description and tags and a thumbnail and, you know, put it out there for people to watch and get promoting it. And that doesn't stop because you then go, right, cool, I've put that one video out there, but now they want more. They want another one for tomorrow. So I'd better have already filmed everything for tomorrow's video and it better be ready to go out tomorrow. So you're at a point where you're several months ahead of yourself producing all of this content and it never stops. And then what happens is YouTube changes their algorithm or popular culture changes and you have to be ready to pivot almost immediately to continue onwards. And I don't think that a lot of people realize just that's why all of these big content creators have those big teams of people around. Mr. Beast is not like the business of Mr. Beast is something like 200 people. The guy is one guy, but there's like 200 people who work with him because as soon as he's finished filming something, it goes straight to an editor who's editing it down whilst he's filming the next bit that another editor can jump into and do, right? I'm picking on Mr. Beast, but you could do that with everyone, right? Linus Tech Tips, Gamer Nexus. I'm just showing you who's on my subscription list at this point. But whoever it is, you mentioned CV11, you know, whoever it is that you are subscribed to, that you are watching, they are likely a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe even a month ahead of what you're watching because you have to, because the content has to be there constantly. It's almost like a constant churn, right? Mm. And I've actually, for some of my YouTube, Twitch or whatever subscriptions, I've actually found myself going back and watching the earlier videos and sort of re-catching up because most people will only watch that one video once. But actually, it's hella entertaining. You can totally watch it a bunch of times, right? Whereas I feel like a lot of the people who subscribe, not everyone, obviously, but a lot of people who subscribe to content that's created, videos, podcasts, audio, whatever, usually only consume it once and then move on. Whereas actually, there's enough effort and enough production value in there that you could sit and watch it multiple times, right? I don't know. I've gone off on a proper tangent there, but yeah, it's just there's a lot of effort involved, is what I'm saying.
Thank you. Thank you for coming to Jay's TED Talk. Souvenirs are in the lounge.
Souvenir programs
are available.
But that's the thing, right? Is that we, you know, there's so much effort that goes into it, and so for. Like, again, you guys produce this podcast, and Jay, you're involved with two, so you know how much effort it is to have one thing that's produced that becomes audio only. And Squidge, you get this from an engineer perspective. There's a lot of cheating that you can do in audio that if it's just audio only, right?
Yep. I'm taking the fifth.
You're going to plead the fifth. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a lot of things that you can get away with in audio that you can't get away with in video, right? Because in audio, you can cut things around however you want. In video, it has to look right. People are watching these pixels move on a screen. And so produced audio is one thing. Produced video is an entire layer on top of that. And then you get into like the live aspect of it. Then you have like, you know, you've got all the everything like a standalone streamer who is usually just a single person doing this. They have to be the production crew. They have to be the audio engineers. They have to be the video engineers. They have to be the camera people. They have to be the writers. They have to be an entire, imagine watching a television show, like a 30-minute television show. that person has to be that entire crew multiple times a week. Right? Like, it's just ridiculous the amount of effort that has to go into something like this. So it's just like, wow.
What I will say, though, is, video production is completely different. Streaming and YouTube and all the rest of it, it's really tough and you've got to be perfect. But audio production is a different beast by itself. I've explained this to multiple different people. The minute you say that you're working on an audio thing, they're expecting top quality. They won't accept anything less. It has to be spot on. And because most of the people are taking their time out of their day to listen to what you're producing, anything that you miss will get picked up on straight away. Mm-hmm. Any clap, any bang, any tut, any eating. And it is very sort of, I mean, from my point of view, when I spend ages trying to go through, scrubbing through things, there's 3, 4, 5 people I'm going through. I've done this before, right? I think the most I've ever done is 7 people. Give me 3 hours worth of audio, and it took me a week and a half to get through it all, right? Mm-hmm. Just took ages and ages and ages. And I finally did it, and I was like, right, okay, that's that done. And I got a message back saying, so far through this, there's a noise, can you remove it? And I nearly flipped. I was like, for one sound. 7 tracks of 3 audio, the one sound. So I scrubbed to it and I went, yeah, I can't get rid of that. Why? Because he coughed and kicked the table while someone else was talking at the same time. In the back of my mind, I thought, it's too much hassle to try and get rid of that because I never will, from experience. So I just said, no matter what I try, it's never going to sound good enough. So you're stuck with it. But it's just that one little bit, you take all this time and all you get back from him is, yeah, this timestamp, you need to get rid of this. And you're like, dirty Perkish heart of back flat and button Philip Bucket Martin Perkaluma Burton Dirty Bust Madden Martin and Adam. It's not enough F's.
And that's kind of that's kind of the point that Zunder was making, right? In that, like, yeah, okay, you can kind of cheat with audio. And as an example, folks, if you want to go listen to my tech podcast and tell me which episode it is, you totally can. It will take you several days of playing it back constantly to find out. There is an episode early on in my tech podcast where my audio got destroyed before it could even be edited. Like, the app that I used to record the interview, my audio did not make it, but the guests did. And I'm like, okay, so I'll just recreate it. And so those of you with very, 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 and I'm not a very good editor. I edited that one. I am not a very good editor, but I can hold my head up high and say that only those with a very keen ear and those with very expensive headphones will be able to tell me which episode it was and how much of my audio is original and how much was recreated, because some of it made it out and some of it didn't, right? And that's what I'm getting at when you're saying that, as under, there's loads of different ways you can cheat, and one of them is you can recreate that audio, because the interview was fantastic. The person was sharing loads of really interesting things. I just didn't want to lose that magic, so I went and recreated it.
Yep, for sure.
You can't do that with video, right? Because, like, you're talking away and you would have to match your movements perfectly, right? Yep. If you wanted to do that, or you'd have to go and create some B-roll that you could cut to smash cut back to you in the future saying the thing, right? It can't be done.
Yeah, but then again, to like Squidge's point, you know, when there's video, there's stuff, there's dancing pixels on the screen to distract you from some of the other stuff. When all you're doing is listening, that's all you're doing. You're just listening, and you are listening for every single thing. Yep.
It is a different beast. God, it's entirely. Such a pain. It's just audio. Yeah, it is. Good Lord.
Yeah. So what we're saying is, content creation is fun but tough. And it's a labor of love. Yeah, and don't edit
audio. It's a labor of
love. Leave it to Squid. He'll do it.
Yeah. Cheers. It is rewarding, but don't expect it straight away. It's sort of like, I don't want to say you have to pay your dues, but you'll do a lot of it before anyone sort of notices the effort you put in.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
Which is not a bad thing.
Yeah. So as we're starting to run low on time here, unfortunately, chaps, I've got loads of other things I need to do today. I really wish I could stick around and do more chatting with you all. But I thought just before we do like outros and where people can find you Zunder, because I'm guessing it's a pretty simple to remember URL for your Twitch. But I thought real quick, if you wanted to do it, and we could totally cut it if you don't, we do this thing called Get Control of Yourself, where we ask our guests to talk about a video game controller that they, in their opinion, is the greatest. Excuse me, the greatest and the worst. So two different controllers. The one that's the greatest, one that's the worst video game controller you have ever had to use. This could be for aesthetic reasons, design reasons, which I suppose is kind of aesthetic, but not. The way it feels, the memories you have of being able to or not be able to use it, whatever reasons. So our question to you, Zunder, is what is the best controller you've ever used and what is the worst controller you've ever used?
The best controller I've ever used is in my hand right now. So, Xbox started doing a thing a few years ago called the Xbox Design Lab, where you could go and customize the colors of basically every single component on an Xbox controller for like an extra $20 over what you would normally pay for an Xbox controller. So the controller, like they've really, since the 360, it's really just been like small iterations over the design of the controller. But I think it's so cool that you can get a custom controller. It fits like, even with my hands, like my hands are huge. I have these big bear paws of hands, right? So to have a controller that's designed that it fits well in my giant hands, and also say like my wife's small hands, you know, using the exact same controller, it shows that they've put a lot of thought and effort into the engineering of the controller itself. But this particular one, if you look at the color scheme, you notice there's like some whites and like light grays with the navy blue. This actually matches the one bathrobe that's back here on my back wall. It's my centerpiece bathrobe. Pull it down so you can see it. So this is, I'm the bathrobe guy. This is what I do. It's what I've been known for years. But I have this one, and it's embroidered. It's with the milkman on it. Because I'm the guy that when you take me to the bar, I'm typically not ordering a normal drink. I will order a glass of milk. That's what I do. I'm known for my love of dairy and my penchant for bathrobes. So I have a controller that actually has... It's hard to see on camera, but it actually has the milkman engraved on the controller in the colors of the bathrobe. So that is my favorite controller. I think it looks cool because I got it custom designed myself. It feels great. It works really well. And again, I think it speaks to the kind of engineering process that they have in the Xbox division, where they've been making the controller that's basically been this same controller just with small like little changes over the last several years. So that's my favorite. I know I'm gonna get hate mail for this one, and bring it on. The worst controller that I have ever used is the original Nintendo 64 controller, because I don't have three hands for a controller that's designed for three hands. And I know the argument that people always make is, well, it's got, you know, you never use all three at once. It's like, there are games where you will use all three at once. There are games that require you to hit the Z trigger and use the D-pad. There are absolutely games that require that. But that controller is just so poorly designed. Now, I will say, they really did make up for it when they made the GameCube, and the GameCube controller had basically the exact same functionality and then some, but in the original two-handed form factor that we really we expect in a controller that works for us, because we have two hands typically, right? Mm-hmm. None of us have three hands to use a controller. So they made up for it, but the Nintendo 64 controller is just, it's not my favorite. Now, I say all that when I have the Nintendo Online version of the N64 controller, right? So I have it. I paid money for this, you know, a couple years ago when it came out, knowing fully well that I'm not going to play with this controller. I just have it in a box because it's fun and it's neat. And, you know, it's Bluetooth, so it works with the Switch. So that's fine, but it's still, that doesn't make it a good controller. That just means I'm a sucker for nostalgia, which is what Nintendo counts on to make their money. That's what they do. Yeah. They put out nostalgia and we pay through the nose for it. And then we complain about it for 6 months. It's like, this was terrible. Why did they do it like this? This makes no sense. And then they put out another thing to feed that nostalgia itch. And then we throw more money at them, which is why Nintendo can get away with it.
I've got the
1,000%.
I couldn't get the N64 controller. I wanted one, Bluetooth one, and I still can't get it because they seem to be out of stock. So I got what seems like the budget version, which is the two-handed version, which works well. It works good with GoldenEye because I've got the Nintendo Online thing. A friend of mine put me on his subscription, so I don't even pay for it. Nice. But I'm playing all the games. I'm playing like Mario Party and GoldenEye and a few of the other bits and bobs, and this works really well with it. But I'm going to tell you now, I long for an original N64 controller, just so I can sit there and go, why am I using this? While continuing to use it for hours on end. So.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Of course. Nice. Cool. Okay. Zunder, I've loved our conversation today. It's been a load of fun. I even like the bit where we're all ranting about content creation. It's brilliant. I guess tell the folks a little bit more about it. Like, tell the folks where they can find you and about your Twitch channel and all that kind of stuff again. And what we'll do is we'll make sure to tell them at the start as well. As soon as they hit play, it's like, hey, you should check out Zunder because he's awesome. So where can folks go to find your stuff?
Yeah, everything that you want to find about me, you can find at zunderscore.tv. That's the letter Z, the word underscore all spelled out, z_.tv. There's links to my Twitch channel there, social media, all that kind of stuff. On Twitch, I am twitch.tv/Zunderscore. I also occasionally stream on another platform, a new platform that went into open beta last year called LiveSpace. So that's live.space/Zunderscore. And again, all of those links are on Zunderscore.tv.
Nice.
Awesome.
I'll
say it now while I remember before I completely forget. That is one epic beard you've got there, my man.
Thank you. It's the source of all of my power. My hair is the source of all my power. So don't feel bad, Squidge. You know, you're not the only one that's got to hold down the luscious locks for the world. Some of us share that burden with you.
I know. It's not as easy as it looks.
It's not. It's a lot of work. Great hair comes great responsibility.
Yeah. My original question was that beard, is it an original Persian because it looks so luscious?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. It is. I had to pay for it.
I've got the free version of facial hair. That's why it looks crap.
I pay good money
for facial hair, yeah. I might invest in it someday. I want one that goes down to my knees just because I can. And then when it's cold, when my hair goes out, I'll just wrap it around my head. Yeah. Just so I can open the door and just yell nonchal pass while family members are trying to visit, you know?
See, imagine that kind of beard, one of my robes, and then just a giant staff, and you just walk around and no one will question you ever.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe not where I live, but it's a good idea.
Well, that's fair. That's fair.
Fair enough. Jay knows what I'm talking about. Not where I live.
Yeah. We all know what you're talking about. Awesome. Well, Zunderscore, it's been amazing chatting with you today. I've had a ton of fun, and I'm sure Squidge has as well. And this is going to be an amazing episode when it comes out. So if you've listened to all the way through, definitely go check out Zunderscore stuff on his website. And you know, if you're interested to hear more about us, head over to waffleandtailors.rocks. That's our website. You've got everything on there. Squidge always makes fun of me for this bit, but I'm going to say it anyway. We have a page on there, Those Games We Played, which I have a little script that runs in the background, scrapes through the episode, picks out the video game titles, and adds them to that list. So if there's a video game that you really like and you want to find out whether we've talked about it, go on that page. It lists them all. You can click on the one that you want. It shows you every episode where we've talked about it. I think at the minute we're at like 1,800 and something games, just because we talk a lot about video games, right? Like I said, video games. Am I right? Nice. Yep. But yeah, it's been a ton of fun, Zunderscore. Thank you ever so much.
Thank you guys for having me. This was great. This was fantastic.
The door is always open if you want to be back on, my friend. Always open. If you've been sent this episode by a friend, or indeed a mortal enemy, or happened on it accidentally, I'd like to ask you to check out the website for the show at wafflingtailors.rocks. We have another 180 episodes, or 7 years of our podcast for you to check out, and we have a section called Those Games We Played, which lists every game we've ever mentioned, how many times we've mentioned it, and what we've said about them. We have socials, they'll be in the links too. We've got Twitter or X, whichever one you want to call it. We've got Discord. You'll also find the details for that in the description. We also stream on Twitch from time to time, and you can find our previous streams and silly videos on our YouTube channel. So do come check us out. Imagine that you're in Final Fantasy IX and that the Thunder Plains is a real place that you can get banished to. What we're going to do is we're going to open a portal to the Thunder Plains
Start again, but say Final Fantasy X instead of 9.
Oh, sorry, everyone. Start again.
All right. Get it right.
Keep that bit for the bloopers, yeah? Okay.
Yeah.